The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Welcome back in. Hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Streaming live on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch as well. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll be joined later this hour at 7:30 by Nashville Predators head coach John Hines. Looking forward to that conversation coming up with him. Ben Arthur from the Tennessean at 8:45 covers the Titans for the Tennessean. And Hal Gill, Preds radio analyst, dropping by at 9:30. Joe, speaking of the Tennessee Titans, here we are. We are past the opening part of free agency. Obviously, the NFL draft has come and gone as well. And the Titans have made lots of changes, especially on the defensive side of the ball. Adoree Jackson gone. Malcolm Butler gone. You brought in Bud Dupree. The draft selection of Rashad Weaver, Caleb Farley, obviously, Elijah Molden as well. This team going to look pretty considerably different on the defensive side of the ball next season. The question that we've posed today is, who do you have more confidence in after free agency? Is it the pass rush that was so abysmal last year, or is it the secondary, which looks a lot different, especially with a lot of young guys coming in there? Christian Fulton. You've got Caleb Farley, hopefully healthy and able to go. Elijah Molden as well. So, Joe, as you look at the position groups on defense for the Titans, as you examine the pass rush, as you examine the Titans secondary, which of those two do you feel better about if you're a Titans fan heading into this season, as the roster stands right now?
Can I just say, I don't know, neither.
No, you cannot.
Thing, I would have said pass rush right after the draft. You know, and I think it's much more likely that, you know, Rashad Weaver's on the team, and it's not like the number three is the most important thing, but it's kind of important to have depth. So now you have that thrown into whatever's going to happen. We don't know about Bud Dupree and his knee. He says he's going to be all good. That's a huge part of it. If I know that, I'll go there. Because I do think Denico Autry helps the pass rush.
Sure.
And I think Denico Autry doing what he does should help Jeffrey Simmons. So, I mean, I could see, certainly, the pieces there for this to be way better. The other huge question on the other side of it, the secondary coverage, I think that's a bigger – I still think that's a bigger question mark. I mean, Bud Dupree being okay from his ACL, to me, is still – a bigger certainty than Caleb Farley and his back, regardless of what he says, and that's fine. I mean, I'm not saying I expect him to miss camp or anything like that, but I don't know. He had back surgery in March, so we'll see. And also, he's a rookie. And also, he's played one really good year at corner, and he's played two total, but he's a relatively new player to
the
position.
Well, that was 2 years ago.
And didn't play last year.
Yeah.
So there's your first-round pick. Christian Fulton, what is he? I don't know. Elijah Molden, I like him. I mean, heck of a college player. Heck of a value pick to me. But is he ready? I don't know. I think we kind of know what Kevin Johnson is. Eh. I mean, you know, Janoris Jenkins is fine.
Has been fine.
Has been fine. Yeah, and he's on the other side. So that sometimes happens fast. I mean, I think that's how the Titans looked at Malcolm Butler. Is that, you know, last year they saw him not run as well. You know, I thought, I mean, he was good, but There's a lot of questions. And then, I mean, Kenny Vaccaro, I think also, I mean, he's gone more because of money than anything, but he didn't have as good a year last year. Now you bring in Hooker. I think you're going to be fine there. Is Kevin Byard going to be back to being one of the best safeties in the NFL? I just asked every individual question I could come up with.
You did.
You know? But I think there's a
lot.
Do
you have any thoughts on Rashawn Evans or Jayon Brown while we're doing this?
I can if you want. No. So, I mean, you go through all that. Obviously, like, there's just more questions with the actual coverage of receivers to me.
I would agree with that. It's also, though, like, we don't know what's going to happen with Rashad Weaver, and I would agree with you. Like, he's probably going to be on the team as we move forward here. But even if he is, you've got, you know, three guys at edge rusher that you feel pretty good about. And then after that, it's a bunch of, whatever. Like, I mean, obviously they like Rashad Weaver, the player, because you've selected him where you did. I mean, and he had a range of grades on him. I mean, some people thought he'd be at the end of the second round, and he ends up going in the fourth round to the Titans there. So, I mean, I think when you factor in Bud Dupree, Denico Autry, as you mentioned, Harold Landry being there as well, I think you feel a lot better about the pass rush heading into this year than certainly you did at any point last year, especially towards the end. A lot of that, almost all of that, is going to be on the health of Bud Dupree and what that looks like. I mean, you're paying a guy $16.5 million to come in and be a difference maker for you and be not just a good player, be an elite disruptor for you when you're paying somebody that type of money. So you're hoping that he's able to come in right off the bat and that he's able to go in training camp and that the ACL is no longer an issue. I do think there are still lots of questions there as well in terms of what sort of an impact is Denico Autry going to have on Jeffrey Simmons? Like, can you get more pass rush from Jeffrey Simmons? Because to me, like, I think Jeffrey Simmons has been very good since he's coming here with the Titans. I don't think he's been as disruptive in the pass rush as you hoped that he would be. And I think a lot of that has been because of what's been around him. There's not been much there. And you're not expecting him to go out there and get, you know, eight sacks or anything like that. But I do think there's another level that he can get to in terms of the pass rush. The question I have is, can Bud Dupree and Denico Autry help unlock that for Jeffrey Simmons?
Yeah, and look, when you ask the question, pass rush or secondary, people, I think, automatically think about people coming off the edge.
Yep.
Man, there is nothing that you love more as a defensive coordinator, as a defense, than to have interior pass rush. And for as strong as Tampa Bay was, you know, off the edge, how much, you know, push did they get inside as well? I mean, they had it all. San Francisco, the year before that, had it all. And I agree, Jeffrey Simmons, I don't think he was healthy last year for the second half. And I think if you look at how much practice he missed down the stretch, I know some of that can be maintenance and everything, but typically you're gonna be out there a little bit more often if you're whatever the level is at the NFL second half of a season, 80%, yep. You know. And he's a key player, so maybe guys like that get a little bit more you know, coaches are a little bit more likely to rest him. But I don't think he was totally healthy. They need him to be healthy, and they need him to be very good. And I do think that that's the intriguing thing is Autry and what that combination might do for them. And Harold Landry, he works his butt off. He hustles. He high-energy player, and he makes plays, and he can get better. He can take another step. That's a big thing for them too.
In terms of Harold Landry, I'm glad you brought him up because I'm interested to see – like, are the Titans going to want to bring him back? What's the price tag going to be on Harold Landry? You brought it up. He's a second-round pick, so there's no fifth-year option that you've got to pick up. What do you think the future looks like for Harold Landry? If he's the same player that he's been and he comes out similar production, he's playing almost every snap, you feel good about his durability, but he's not, you know, an 8-9 sack guy. What do you think the future looks like for Harold Landry in terms of his next contract?
That's a great question. And actually, I do know this, that he knows this is a huge year for him.
Sure.
Right? So, yeah. I feel like obviously he's been everything they want him to be in terms of in the locker room and a guy who is an Iron Man. I mean, you can't overlook durability and what he's done. That means a lot. That's got to mean something to a GM. But I also look at John Robinson, and he's certainly not alone in this, and he's not a big fan of paying someone that second contract unless you're talking about a special player.
Yeah.
What could you get him for? It's an interesting, you know, if he has this great year, well, now the market for him changes, and you're probably not going to sign him. Maybe
he did have 9 sacks in 2019.
He did. So I mean, he's a good player. Like, to me, if you can swing it, you'd rather keep him rather than keep having to replenish that. You still don't have a ton of depth, even if with Weaver coming in, as we assume Weaver's going to get through his situation and be on the team. That's a really interesting one with Harold Landry. I mean, I'm trying to think of, because it's kind of like a mid-level.
Yeah.
It's a mid-level contract kind of thing. I think Jayon Brown, for example, obviously a different position, but kind of maybe a similar situation a little bit. He didn't get what he was looking for out there, but things are going to get better. The cap's going to go up, and I think things will even start looking better. I mean, next year free agency should be better for guys. So is that someone that they're going to prioritize? I think it just so much has to do with him. And look, like, what about Dupree? Is Dupree great this year and looks like, oh, the next few years of Dupree are going to be really good? Maybe you feel a little bit better about letting Landry go and going young there and going less expensive there and things like that. I don't know. I don't think the market would be great for Harold Landry right now, but it could be after next year or in the middle of next year.
When we come back, we'll continue this discussion, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. What do you have more confidence in after free agency in the draft? Is it the Titans' pass rush, or is it the secondary? Let us know on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Also, when the Preds have a weekday game this season, it's your chance to participate in Preds Pick the Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. If you guess a Preds player that scores a goal in the game that night, you win a prize pack. The next chance to participate is Monday morning at 8:45. We'll be right back here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Thursday morning. Streaming live on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch. Right now, talking Tennessee Titans. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Who do you have more confidence in after free agency and the draft? Is it the Titans pass rush, or is it the secondary? Ron on the text line says, I feel there would be a lot of pressure on the defensive line and linebackers to bring pressure and get sacks. Our secondary is young, and offenses will test us and maybe even pick on the secondary if the D-line is no good and we can't cover. This better work out, or John Robinson will be on a hot seat. What do you think about that? There's a lot of people wanting to put J-Rob on a hot seat.
There is a lot of hot seat talk for someone who's had his level of success.
Yeah.
I think this is the least pleasing draft in the instant reaction of his 6 years. I also think that it was automatically going to be judged a little more harshly because of how bad last year's draft was.
I agree.
So that's part of it. But, yeah, look, hey, he has totally changed over this defense and the secondary in particular. But who are your mainstays? You know, you had Simmons. You know, Daquan Jones is out of there too. He's gone, and obviously Clowney and all those guys. But the secondary is very different. You got Jayon, and you got Rashawn Evans for now. Mm-hmm. I mean, even when it hasn't been made over, you can see where it's going to be changing soon. So I mean, everything John Robinson did to me says that he looks at last year and says, yeah, it was a personnel thing and not a coaching thing.
That's been certainly the route they've taken so far this offseason. I'm interested, let's say for the sake of argument, Caleb Farley is ready to go in training camp, and he is healthy, he's available, and he's out there. How do you line up in the secondary to begin the season if you're the Titans? Do you put, you know, Fulton back inside and leave Jenkins outside, Farley outside? Do you put Molden inside? And Jenkins is your four at that point, right from the jump. What do you think the Titans do here? And if Farley is healthy, do you think he's absolutely in there based on where he was drafted and the ability that we saw at college?
Well, is he healthy and the same guy? Because that's the thing that TD brought up. Okay, he could be healthy, he could be active and all that stuff, but he's a quick twitch athlete. He is an elite athlete. So is that affected at all? And that's another thing about this. It's not just can he play, can he still play at the highest level, the level that he played in 2019? If that's the case, I would think he'd be in there. Now, obviously, that also comes down to the system and sure. How you're – but I would think so. And I would think that the way you said it first would be the way they would do it. I mean, Fulton has played inside. They brought him in to look at that. He was there some last year. That would make sense to me that Jenkins would start and Farley with Fulton inside. And then, you know, I guess I'd be surprised if they came right out and had both rookies out there in the starting group. That'd be –
essentially have three rookies at that point because Fulton, what does he play, six games?
Right. Yeah, two and
that's
a
pretty
half.
Pretty young.
Certainly, yeah, certainly two and a half. And it's all, look, it's all about camp. I mean, if those guys are great in camp and they figure it out, I mean, like Moldens is a guy, son of a pro and just like such a sharp dude. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if Molden came in here and really elevated himself quickly. And he's like a slot guy. Then it would make for an interesting choice.
I think it's pretty clear that right now that's the long-term plan for the Titans is having those three, Fulton, Farley, and Molden coming in, and that being the three that you roll with at corner. Now, how quickly can you get to that point? I don't know. I mean, that's going to be based on, how quickly does Molden come in and pick things up? Is Farley healthy? Is Fulton, where are you going to put him? Would you rather have Fulton inside? Would you rather have him outside? I mean, it reads to me with, Molden coming in, they probably want Fulton outside and moving Molden inside. So I'm interested to see how quickly they get to that. I think regardless, when you have a cornerback group that's as young as those three are, and you've got the veteran in Jenkins, you got Kevin Johnson there as well, but when you have a cornerback room that's as young as it is, and this goes without saying, but I'm going to say it anyway, it is essential that Kevin Byard gets back to being Kevin Byard next year. Like, he's got to be that all-pro, Pro Bowl type of player at safety because there will be times, and I know that, if Caleb Farley's healthy, he's got a lot of talent. Christian Fulton as well. They're talented guys, and they can run. But there are going to be times, as a rookie in this league, that you get picked on and that things don't go well for you. You've got to have Kevin Byard be back to the level that we've grown accustomed to seeing. If you don't, this secondary is going to really struggle next year. It's just the bottom line.
I agree. There is a little chicken and egg to that with Byard,
sure,
depending on how you want to look at it. I mean, I think he can be better if there's better pass rush, if his corners are better, right? And he can be a little bit more of an opportunistic player. But still, he's the leader back there of the secondary. He's one of really, I think, the two leaders / spokesmen for the team. Maybe three. I think you have to include Derrick Henry in that. But, like when the team usually does something now, it's Tannehill and Byard who talk, right?
Yep.
But he's got to be great. I mean, he really does. And we've seen him be great. And I think last year was partially circumstance, but that's, he's getting paid to overcome that and transcend that help a defense, overcome it too. So that's what they need him to do this year. And if it is all better in front of him, then I think you got a great chance that we'll see vintage Byard.
I do too, but also it's so important now that those two at safety stay healthy too, because behind them, I mean, you don't know. I mean, Dane Cruikshank, I think, is a good player, but he was hurt all last year. Like, what's that depth going to look like at safety? We spent so much time talking about cornerback, and obviously they've had a lot of changeover at that position, but I think your depth at safety absolutely right now has been diminished with Vaccaro out the door. You used to have Hooker as the three. Now he's the two. And right now, I mean, it doesn't appear to me they've got a Hooker waiting in the wings at number three. I know you brought in Brady Breeze, so all-name team Brady Breeze is going to come in, maybe give you some depth there. But it's important for Byard and Hooker to stay healthy this year.
Brady Rogers Breeze.
Yes.
I'm assuming that's his middle name.
Probably so.
Yeah, Cruikshank's a big deal. So I went on Twitter the other day, went through the fourth and fifth round picks because they were about to pick, and the Titans had done well. I mean, it's amazing. Like, they had one fourth round pick in John Robinson's tenure.
That is pretty incredible.
And it was Hooker. but even in the fifth round. And I think I counted like 5 of 8 as hits, but one of them I counted was Crookshank. Now, Kaharsky then comes at me and says, that's a hit? And I was like, well, you know, I mean, I think it's, to me, like, you're a special teams player. Now, granted, you know, you can't be injured for entire seasons.
Yeah.
Hasn't done a ton on defense, but when he's been called in, he's been, you know, he's been able to you know, be out there and be okay. Again, it's a fifth-round pick, so what is a hit at a fifth-round pick? But anyway, Crookshank then, like, found it and, like, was like, LOL or something like that.
I saw that.
But, hey, man, I retweeted about it, but you know what? Well, if whatever you think a hit is, you know, I would say if you're a good three this year and you're healthy and you're reliable and you can get out there in situations, then that cements hit. All right, now I'd say it is a good debate on him. Another guy to remember is Chris Jackson.
Yep.
Chris Jackson played, you know, at corner last year. You know, he's a guy who could potentially compete back there. Certainly another guy, you know, he knows the defense, came right in as a rookie and really elevated himself because of what he did in camp. This is what you hope from Molden. Now, some people have thrown out there Molden. He at Washington, the way they ran that secondary, Molden played a ton of safety.
Yep.
He was a slot/safety guy. He's not big. You know, he's 5'9", 190 or whatever, but could he potentially, you know, rotate back there, give you some kind of depth there? It's possible.
Ryan Porthes, you look at this roster now for the Titans defensively. What do you have more confidence in? Is it the pass rush? Is it the secondary as they head into the season, the roster withstanding currently as it is?
Secondary.
No hesitation.
I feel better about the secondary because there's not nearly enough depth at pass rush, and you're also banking on Bud Dupree to be fine after a torn ACL, which – in today's world, players are typically fine after the torn ACL, but is he going to be ready for week one? That is a question.
It is.
And now you have the whole Rashad Weaver stuff going on. I feel better about the secondary.
Well, I think, you know, the ACL thing too. I mean, yes, you feel a lot better about that injury specifically now. But with edge guys, that's where I think you worry about it maybe a little bit more. With the bend that's required, and you worry about it with bigger players on the offensive line too. I think Bud Dupree is going to be fine, but of the positions out there, this is where I would worry about it the most.
So you feel like you're not counting Danico Autry. That doesn't count in the discussion.
It helps for sure. It absolutely helps, and hopefully the presence of Autry helps Jeffrey Simmons on the defensive line as well. But the makeover that they did with the pass rush, and I'm specifically looking at edge, was not as much as what they did with the secondary. And I get it, there are questions in the secondary. But I do feel good about Hooker filling in for Vaccaro. And I think the odds are that you'll find at least two corners that are going to be starter worthy earlier in the season. Well, you don't know that at edge.
Yeah.
At least early in the season.
Well, I think you're right that the depth at least gives you some flexibility, competition. I mean, Jenkins, I mean, that's a 2-year, $15 million deal.
Yeah.
So he wasn't brought in here to sit around.
He was not.
But I'm sure if you're the Titans and it's like, hey, look at these young kids, you know, that'll be probably a 1-year deal.
Right.
You know, but at least they have that as a possibility. And certainly going in the draft, Kevin Johnson was starting for this team. The fact that he's not now,
it's good news.
Probably. Should make you feel better.
When we come back, we'll be joined by Predators head coach John Hines. That coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Streaming live on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch as well. Right now talking all things Nashville Predators. And to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Predators head coach John Hines. John, what's going on, man? How we doing?
Doing really well. How about you guys?
We are doing great. Appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. I know it was a late night for you guys last night as well. John, what stands out to you about your team in the last two games against Columbus? What do you take away from that two-game set?
Well, I think we've got to be a notch better. You know, I thought we did some good things in the game, but I'd probably say for the full 60 on both nights, we weren't at the level, you know, we need to be this time of year to to be able to win. So I think that, you know, as a team, as individuals, I think there's, we got to get to another level here over the weekend.
So, John, do you think that was anything to do with, you know, having the huge emotional win right before the series? Anything? I mean, I know you know, you got to take everybody serious in this league, but obviously Columbus has had a tough year. I mean, what kind of things would you point to as you're trying to assess why it wasn't quite where you wanted it to be?
Well, I think, you know, you can't be a reactionary team. You know, I think if we're going to win and get in playoffs and do something in the playoffs, you know, you have to be a team, no matter who you play, that you're gonna come out and dictate how you want to play and how the game is going to be played and the intensity level that the game is going to be played at. And you know, I thought that we were a little bit reactionary the last two games, kind of went out, saw how it was going to go. And, you know, for us to be successful, you have to be a team that comes out and is going to dictate the terms in which the game is going to be played on. I didn't think we did that enough in the last two games.
John, what's the challenge like as a coach this time of year? I mean, you've got the last week of the regular season here, and you've gotten some guys coming back in the lineup. Fabbro and Sissons coming back in yesterday. That's been the case over the last couple of weeks as well, with Forsberg coming back in. What's the challenge like for you and your staff putting a lineup together when people are getting healthier and you've got guys, you know, all throughout the lineup that have bought in at this point, trying to determine your lineup on a nightly basis at this point?
Yeah, you know, it is challenging, but it is a good problem to have. It could, because it means you got a lot of players that are playing pretty well, and you have guys that are coming back in. So I think the biggest challenge is, you know, when the players have come back in, sometimes it's been because of injury. We have had to healthy scratch some players to give guys some opportunities to be able to play. I think the challenge now comes down to, you know, probably to this weekend. And then if we wind up getting in, going into the playoffs, is you're going to have to make decisions now as your team gets more and more healthy, that, you know, who are the players that are going to play. And some guys have come in off of injury and played very well. Some guys have come in off of injury and been average. So now you're going to have those decisions where, you know, who are you going to play when all the players come back, who are the guys that are going to play? And it's got to be based on performance.
How did you feel Fabbro did, and how important is it to get him back, John? And how do you view, you know, in particular your defense core and the juggling there?
I thought Dante played pretty well last night. You know, I thought he was off for a while, so there was a little bit of rust in his game. But I thought coming in after that long of a break, he came in and played pretty well. You know, I think in the D, we're going to have some hard decisions, and that third pair right now, in our opinion, I think you have Gabranson, Harper, Fabbro, and Benning. You know, I think that Gabranson and Benning played pretty well, but we felt like we didn't want Harper sitting too long. He's been a big part of this process here with us, and then obviously Dante coming back in and playing. So there's going to be a little bit of some tough decisions coming up with the D-core on who's going to play, but you know, whoever we decide, they're going to have to be the guys that get it done for us.
Predators head coach John Hines on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And John, Tanner Janot finds his way on the board again last night, and it's been pretty incredible to watch, not only, you know, the way he's played since he's gotten here with you guys, but also the journey that it's been for him to get here in the first place. I mean, he's taken more of an unconventional route to get to the NHL. What stands out to you about Tanner Janot and the way that he's plays and what he's brought to your group in terms of the intangibles on the ice, but also the production as well?
Yeah, he's, you know, as you said, I think the story of him getting to the NHL is pretty, you know, pretty exceptional. But the fact that he's here now, you know, I think you see in his play. I mean, he's got a ton of character as a person. He's taken the hard way to get to the NHL. You know, I think he's mastered every level he's been at, and he's faced a lot of adversity along the way. And I think now you're seeing a player here in the NHL that he takes nothing for granted. He's got a great work ethic. He's really rounded out his game in the process to get here, and he's NHL ready. He's physically ready. He's mentally ready. He's got a ton of substance to his game. He's a great competitor, and you know, he's one of these guys that, you know, sometimes it's not how fast you get here, but when you get here, you want to be able to stay. And the way that he's playing and performing, looks like he's been a big impact on our team. You know, it's really funny too, because you had that line was doing really well, and then Matty Olivier gets hurt, and Tanner goes right in, and they don't miss a beat. So that's a good thing. He's been a big, big factor on our team. He's helped one of our most dominant lines continue to be dominant, and that's a great sign for him and for the team.
Talking to Predators head coach John Hines. John, Elli Tolvanen has come back, has not had a ton of opportunities 5-on-5. What are you seeing from him? And then we did notice that, you know, Matt Duchene missed some time. Is there a concern health-wise with him right now?
No, you know, I think with Elli, he's, you know, with Tolvanen, there's got to be a little bit more there, 5-on-5. You know, I don't think he's at the level right now that he was prior to his injury. So we're trying to work with him through that here to get the 5-on-5 and get the impact that he had, not just scoring, but he was, you know, he's playing faster. I think he was impacting the game along with his production. Thought he was a real hard player to play against, but he's just a little off that level. So hopefully we can help him get back to that level here over the weekend. And you know, with that, no, it was just, you know, kind of the way the game went in the third period. It just changed a couple lines, got a couple guys different shifts, and that's how it went last night.
John, as you look at the situation now, you got Carolina coming up this weekend. Obviously, Dallas taking on Tampa Bay on Friday night. As a coach, knowing that, you know, if Tampa wins in regulation, you're in, do you watch the Dallas game? Do you pay much attention to it as a coach, or are you more focused on just kind of getting your guys prepared and doing what you've got to do from that standpoint?
I think the most important thing for all of us, you know, the players and coaches is to not be scoreboard watching. I think it's important that, you know, we have to get ready for the biggest game of the year. And, you know, we don't want to be sitting here counting on Dallas to lose. I think we got to understand that we didn't take care of business against Columbus. We got a day off here. We got to come back to the rink tomorrow, focused on getting better, focused on Carolina, and making sure that, you know, we're ready to play our best game of the year on Saturday. And, you know, if we do that, then our destiny is going to be in our own hands. But I think once you go down that other road, you know, your focus isn't where it needs to be, and our focus needs to be on our game and on Carolina.
And, John, this is a question that's also probably not directly in what you're focusing on, but we have talked a lot about, you know, Pecorine, certainly different scenarios that could take place this weekend. But beyond that, just obviously a guy we haven't seen a lot from. We're not around you guys like in a normal year. From your perspective, you know, what have you seen from him? And I guess, you know, how do you feel like this has gone for him as his, you know, his role has changed?
Well, you know, he's been an unbelievable teammate, and I think it's been, as you said, I think the role has changed. But Pex has been, as you would expect, he's been a true professional. Comes in every day. He has a good attitude. He works extremely hard. Great teammate. He's in great support of Juice. Now, obviously, as the competitor that he is, you know, he wants to play and wants to get in. And you know, we would like to be able to do that. I think some of the circumstances, just with how, you know, Saros has played and how the schedule has set up, it's been difficult to do that. But, you know, when we need him, and we will need him, he'll be ready to go. But I think, you know, as you would expect, your probably outside thoughts on who Pecorine is, how is he handling it, what is he doing, true pro, unbelievable teammate, great Predator, and when called upon, he's gonna be ready.
John, last thing for you here, as you look ahead to this weekend coming up against Carolina, obviously both games at home Saturday and Monday, do you think there's a chance that Arvidsson could be available for you at any point to close out the regular season here?
There would be a possibility. I'll know more tomorrow, but all signs are pointing that he is moving in the right direction, and there is a possibility he could be available, yes.
Predators head coach John Hines has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. John, great stuff. Appreciate you taking time to join us this morning after a late night last night, and good luck this weekend against Carolina.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate you having me. Have a great day.
Appreciate you joining us. John Hines, Predators head coach, our guest here on Robbie and Rextro. Lots of interesting things there in that interview from John Hines. We'll react to some of those coming up next. This is Robbie and Rextro here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Thanks to Predators head coach John Hines for joining us in the last segment. And Joe, some very interesting comments there by John Hines in our interview in the last segment, including some thoughts on Eli Tolvanen and Matt Duchene as well. Now, I pointed out earlier in the show that Matt Duchene had three shifts in the third period last night, including a gap of almost around 12 minutes or so in the third period where he wasn't on the ice. And, you know, my first takeaway of it was maybe there's something going on injury-related. Maybe that's what kept him out of the lineup, and he was able to come back in towards the end of the game. We talked to John Hines about that, also got into Eli Tolvanen's play as well, and he had some interesting comments in our segment, last segment with Predators head coach John Hines. Here's what he had to say.
I think with Eli, he's, you know, with Tolvanen, there's got to be a little bit more there, 5-on-5. You know, I don't think he's at the level right now that he was prior to his injury. So we're looking from, we're trying to work with him through that here to get the 5-on-5 and get the impact that he had, not just scoring, but he was, you know, he's playing faster. I think he was impacting the game along with his production, but he was a real hard player to play against. But he's just a little off that level, so hopefully we can help him get back to that level here over the weekend. And, you know, with that, no, it was just, you know, kind of the way the game went in the third period. It just changed a couple lines, got a couple guys different shifts, and that's how it went last night.
So that was John Hines discussing both Eli Tolvanen and Matt Duchene. And, Joe, the takeaway I had from those comments on Duchene was when you're talking about it's just kind of the way the game went in the third period, doesn't sound like there's anything injury-related with Matt Duchene last night. It kind of sounds like he got benched for like 12 minutes last night in the third period. I find that to be very interesting.
Yeah, no doubt. And it's been a while since something like that happened, right?
Yeah.
Last year it happened quite a bit.
Yeah. It's an interesting timing for it, too. Well, last week of the regular season.
Yeah, like, well, yeah. And I agreed with you what you said earlier, which is like, you know, that's something you do, you know, in the midst of an 82-game season, you know, you try to send a message or whatever. But apparently, now, of course, sometimes benching is not just send a message. It's like, okay, we're better double shifting this guy or that guy. I don't know. You tell me. Do you remember exactly what he did?
The only thing I can think of is the second goal by Columbus. Duchene was late closing out on the guy. And we talked about that, you know, whether or not that's a goal UC Saros would like to have back. Maybe. But Duchene kind of got lost there in coverage. And he was late closing in on the shooter for Columbus. I can't remember exactly who the shooter was. Maybe it was Bjorkstrand, maybe? That's exactly who it was. Oliver Bjorkstrand scoring the second goal for Columbus in the game last night. If you go and watch the play, Duchene is kind of late getting there, and Bjorkstrand's got room to score. That's the only thing I can really think of. He had one shift in the third period, kind of 2 minutes in. And then if you look at the game chart, he went basically 12 minutes without seeing the ice again. And then when you got down late in the third period, he was back out there. But it sounds like Matt Duchene got benched for a little while last night.
Yeah, poor phrasing by me on the question to you, but that's also a good question, is what Duchene did. I was at, like, do you remember what Hines did in terms of how he juggled things?
Oh, no. I mean, I'd have to go back and look.
Yeah, just that Duchene was missing a bunch of shifts.
I'd imagine Forsberg was out there a lot. Matter of fact, I remember Forsberg being out there with Halla, and I was like, huh, what's going on here? And then you look at the sheet, and Duchene's not out there.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, in some cases, you're trying to come back. You're going to start double-shifting your – you know, you're behind in a game, right? I mean, you're going to double-shift some of your top players and just say we need as much threat as we can have on the ice. But still, you would think that Duchene would be one of those threats too.
Well, and especially because I think you would agree with this. I thought since Duchene's come back from injury, he's played pretty well for the most part. And I know some people just shudder at the thought of that, and I've had, you know, people the last couple of days tweet me about why is Duchene in the lineup, and this is only going to be more fodder for that as we move forward here now.
Ooh.
But I found that to be pretty interesting, talking about Matt Duchene there, that he just said it's just kind of the way the game went in the third period. That's a nice way of saying, yeah, he was on the bench.
Yeah, I hope that your tweet you just sent about this does not reach Facebook.
Oh, boy.
Matt,
give me some takes.
Matt Duchene can never play another second for the Preds.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. John from Clarksville texting in. Forsberg was double shifting the whole time. Duchene was on the bench. He was. That's of the guys to double shift, he's at the top of the list. Yeah. So that's
again, like I get, hey, Forsberg, he's healthy, he's been out, maybe he's got a little extra energy. You're behind, you know, but why is DeShane the choice? Is that a? Is there any chance that that's just a how Hines thinks it fits best, and he's just the odd man out, or it's got to be punitive to some extent?
Yeah, let's go to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Philip in Franklin says, Hines said in the postgame Forsberg was playing too well to take him off the ice. Still puts a question on DeShane, though. I mean, to Philip's point, I mean, if that's fine if you want to double ship Philip Forsberg.
There's other people.
Why is Matt DeShane the one you're taking off?
Yeah, like there's other people. Yeah. Or you could switch it around a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, you could double shift him. He could take a shift with the Hurd line if you wanted to, or take a shift with Yarncroke's line if you wanted to as well.
Although I wouldn't have. I mean, the Hurd line was, they were creating stuff.
Yeah.
Like, it's hilarious to say, but not touching that line.
No.
But yeah, you have other wings that you can move around a little bit to make sure you get Forsberg out there. Why is it just DeShane?
It was interesting. I found those comments to be very interesting. And you asked him about Eli Tolvanen as well, saying he's not quite at the level 5-on-5 that he was before the injury, not creating as much. And John Hines pointed out, not just offensively, but the speed in which he's playing the game, I do think that's been pretty noticeable from Eli Tolvanen as of late. He is not quite at the same level that he was when, you know, there was one point this year at the start of the streak where he was basically carrying this team offensively, and he's not been all that noticeable as of late.
No, and they need that. I mean, I feel like another thing about the last couple games is, you know, just stretches that are too long without really creating enough offensive chances in 5-on-5. That's why guys like Tolvanen, guys like DeShane, they've got to be Johansson.
Yep.
I mean, they've got to have a big hand in that. And it is wild. Like you said, I mean, DeShane two nights ago or three games ago, whatever, was lights out.
I think far and away the best player on the ice against Dallas. But now here we are. Third period, he's not playing.
Here we are.
Things can change in a hurry. I'm going to be interested to see how they – I mean, I don't think Matt DeShane's going to be out of the lineup next game. Like, I would be surprised.
You're going to get so many tweets now and then about how he will be or should be. Whatever.
And, you know, he's pointing out at the end of that interview, it sounds like there's a pretty good chance Arvidsson could be back too, saying that there's a pretty good possibility he could be available. So, I mean, if Arvidsson's coming back in, like right now, who are you taking out? I mean, to me, the obvious one would be either Richardson or Cousins. I mean, Cousins is out last night. I would think you just take Richardson out, move Arvidsson in, maybe on that line, or maybe you move Tolvanen down, see if you can get him activated with Halla and DeShane. But I don't know. Maybe they like the way Richardson and or Cousins is playing, and you do something else with the lineup.
See, here's the thing. Like, you don't right now do anything with the lineup because, oh, you know, you got to play the $8 million guy. You don't do that.
No.
You're doing your best possible lineup. I still think that Matt DeShane, especially for a team that is not offensively prolific, is a guy who needs to be in there.
Yeah.
You need him in there, I think. You need him to play like he did against Dallas.
Yeah. Vince on Twitter says, I wonder how many overall points DeShane has since joining the Preds. Well, I can answer that for you. He's got 53 since joining the Predators. 53 points, I believe, in 98 games.
Well, not good enough.
That's not $8 million.
No, it's not. I mean, I think that's obvious at this point. He's not been worth the money up until this point. The question that you move forward with is, like right now, can he help you win as you continue to go down the stretch here? I mean, my answer on that has been yes. I still think, and when you're icing your 12 best forwards, he needs to be out there. But, man, it's been something. I did not expect that to be the way that conversation went with John Hines.
Yeah. No, because I mean, like, I didn't notice him last night, right? But you can say that about a lot of guys. But obviously a coach sees a lot more from the bench than anyone sees on television. But – yeah, I didn't. I would have just assumed there was an injury there, and I feel like maybe the forward lines could be real interesting on Saturday, and could also be impacted by what this sure. Like Arvidsson's not going to be out there if Tampa Bay wins Friday.
You wouldn't think so. I mean, just get him healthy, ready to go for the playoffs. And look, I hear what John Hines is saying in the last segment. I think that's the way you've got to handle it if you're the Predators. Like you've got, if you're a player or you're a coach, like you've got to walk into tomorrow when you practice and Saturday when you're getting ready for the game. Like you've got to walk into that game tomorrow from a preparation standpoint, thinking, all right, this is it. Like this is the big game that we need to win. We've got to win it. And then you react after that, like if Tampa Bay gets it done against Dallas. But you can't be worried about the Tampa Bay-Dallas game right now. Like, if you're a Predators player and you're going into practice tomorrow thinking, all right, well, who cares? Tampa Bay is going to beat Dallas tonight. Probably not going to go well for you on Saturday night. That'd be my guess.
Yeah, no question. I mean, it's look, you got to focus on what you're doing. It's also not realistic to think that anybody's going to close, you know,
they'll be watching the game.
Yeah, they'll know what's going on, and it's going to have a tremendous impact on – I mean, Saturday's either a massive pressure game or a zero
Nothing.
Pressure game.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, based on something totally out of your control now.
102.5 The Game and T-Mobile have teamed up to give away a hockey home gating party. Text the word PREDS to 615-737-1025. That's PREDS to 615-737-1025. Now to enter for a chance to win a Dos Equis prize pack, which includes a case of beer, dessert from Nothing But Cakes, a T-Mobile prize pack, and food provided by 312 Pizza Company in Germantown. You must be 21 or older to enter. When we come back, we'll get back into the Tennessee Titans. There's a trade proposal that's been floated out there connecting the Titans to Aaron Rodgers. What do we make of that? We'll get into that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint schemes. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car looked in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The Sherwin-Williams Summer Sale is here. Get 30% off select paints and stains or 35% off our newest product, Emerald Symmetry, July 17th through the 27th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.